of 1 Kings, and these will comprise the studies on 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicle, 2 Chronicle, because the person I'm going to talk to is in both of these books, in Kings and in Chronicles. And we're going to talk about Christ, either the wisdom of God or the reigning king, whatever you want to mention will be equal to that title. And let's refresh our introduction to this and the series of studies that we have done, and we stopped for two Sundays, and so I refresh what we have done. We start with Genesis, and in Genesis, Jesus was the son of the seed of the women, all right? In Exodus, Jesus was the Lamb of God. In Leviticus, either the priest of the sacrifice. In Numbers, remember, he was the lifted up serpent. In Deuteronomy, was the prophet of God. In Joshua, the captain of our souls. In Judges, the protector. In Ruth, he was Redeemer, and in 1st and 2nd Samuel, the intercessor. So we got an idea. See, these are, you can find many, many, many other pictures of Jesus, but at least these are the main pictures that you can remember how to use the Bible. Now, the topic for discussion again tonight is very simple. It's the book of 1st and 2nd Kings and the book of Chronicles, and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what we want to do, a kind of a study that we draw from the book and we put the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's do the general information again, all right? So that it's always good to look upon the general information. Like tonight, for example, you're going to learn, if you read this material, that God progressively reveals truth. Not that he goes from untruth to truth, but he goes from partial to completeness. And that's very important. You're going to learn in these studies that I do at 4 o'clock, you're going to learn the philosophical aspect of your salvation. And some people say, well, it cannot be progressive revelation. Yes, it is. But it's not from untruth to truth. It is from partial revelation. One lamb for one man and a lamb for the world. Completeness of revelation. And so here it is in the Gospel of Luke, and this is very important. In chapter 24, we saw that Jesus is resurrected. He is after the crucifixion, and he's talking to two witnesses who were very discouraged because Jesus was dead. And in verse 27, the Bible said that Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he must use a lot of Old Testament to speak to these people. Then he meet with all the apostles, and in verse 44, he does the same thing. Then this is now talking to all the apostles together. And in verse 44, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the Psalm concerning me. Over there, really, Jesus expounded more. He went almost through the entire Old Testament to show that the Bible was concerning himself. If you move your Bible a little bit to the right, in John chapter 5, in verse 39, he's talking to the doctors, the religious leaders. And he said, search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they refer to the scripture, they are they which testify of me. Always Jesus saying the whole Bible, the entire Bible is a testimony about me. And the very classic verbs is almost at the end of your Bible in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews, in verse 7. There, specifically, openly, the Bible says that is about Jesus. Then said I, Hebrews 10 and verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will of God. In the volume of the book. This is the book. And there are 66 volumes here. And so in the volume of this book, the whole content of the book is talking about Christ. And the believers need to be careful in how to read a passage of the scripture and draw the information about Christ in the Old Testament. We're going to do just that today. And so let's go to the specific information. And I'm just going to use the book of 1 Kings. And the story in 1 Kings is repeated in Chronicles, so it's not necessarily for me to go into Chronicles. So in 1 Kings, I'm going to go about 4 points about one king that you know very well, King Solomon. All right? King Solomon, the first thing I want you to notice about King Solomon is that King Solomon was a man of wisdom. Let's go to chapter 4 and then look to verse 29 and to verse 34 in these reference. Chapter 4 in the book of 1 Kings and verse 29. Look at what the Bible says. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And many of you love to go to the beach, and I don't know if you ever thought in counting how many little grains of sand are in a little space. And you can figure out the volume, know if the sand is dry, and if the sand is wet, it's a different volume, but you cannot find how many little grains of sand are there. Here's the scripture said, even as the sand that is on the seashore. You can take a trip around Hawaii 1, a beautiful Hawaii, and go around the shore and see the scene. You can go to Half Moon Bay and go from there to San Francisco and see the shore and all the sand over there, and think about Solomon. He was so wise that all the sand that you see these, there was not enough. He was a wise man. He was a wise man. Now look at verse 34, chapter 4. In verse 34, and there came all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. This is the only time if you read the book of 1 Kings, you will know that this is the only time that the Arab nations were at peace with Israel. And they were at peace because there was a genius on the White House, and that was Solomon. And the Queen of Sheba, and he was a master man in handling ladies. He, to make peace with the nation, he will marry the daughter of the king. Now, I don't counsel anybody to do that, but that's what he did. And then Queen Sheba came, which was, Sheba is Saudi Arabia. And she came to see if that was real. And King Solomon, rather than bringing her to the palace, he brought her to the temple. And when she saw the temple, she said, whatever they said unto you, they have not been told half of the story of who you really are. And there was the first time that Lebanon, Syria, and Saudi Arabia were at peace with Israel. I think the only time in the history of mankind, because of the wisdom of this man was. So Solomon was a man of wisdom. Remember that. Kings reveals in Chronicles that Solomon was a man of wisdom. Secondly, King Solomon was a just judge. You all know this story in chapter 3, but it's good to review again. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3 in verse 16, all the way to verse 28. This is the story that was presented right when he became president of the nation. I thought of our President Bush when he just took the presidency and came the 9/11 incident, that the towers blow up, just when he is the president. How does a man who is new to the job handle the job? And that's what happened here with King Solomon. I'm reading 1 Kings 3 and verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and they stood before him. These were not nice ladies, but they came to the king. And how they get there to the king, I don't know, but they came to the king. Verse 17, and the one woman said, oh, my lord, I and these women dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered, that these women was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save the two in the house. So a baby was born, another baby was born. There were only two women. And this woman child died in the night because she overlaid it. In other words, the mama sleep with the baby and she did not know. And she went over the top of the baby and really the baby cannot breathe and die. Verse 20. And she arose at night and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. So you know what the lady is saying? You know what happened, King? I was sleeping and her baby died. So she put the baby who died in my bed and took my baby and keep it to her. All right. Now verse 21. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, to give food, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. Now, she did not say, the Bible doesn't say how this woman knows is not her son. It's very hard to know babies, all right? It looks almost the same. How do these women, well, a mother will know, I think. A mother will know because the baby come from her, so she will know if it's her son or not. But these women make that statement. And verse 22, the other women said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And these said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So here's the case. King, nobody is there, no witness, no lights to watch it, nothing. I'm here sleeping. My baby, her baby died. He put it in my place. My baby went to her. Now, what do we do? Now, I mean, you need wisdom to solve this one. All right. Okay. Verse 23. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Now watch now. Verse 26. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divided. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. You got the picture? See, the king said, when the lady said, no, don't cut it. Give to her the baby. The king said, okay, that's the mother. That's the mother. And all Israel, look at verse 28. All Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king. When a man is a just person, people get afraid of him. They feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. They saw that this man is like God. He really is just. He really knows what is right and what is wrong. So King Solomon was a just judge. He knew how to cut the cake. He knew how to say this is right and this is wrong. And just by doing this privately in his castle, the whole fame went around the world, especially around Israel. And people say, we got in the White House a man who really knows what is the right stuff. Number three, King Solomon was a builder of God's house. As you remember, David passionately wanted to build a house for the Lord. And the Lord said, no, because you shed too much blood. David was like the guy who is now in the White House in Israel. He said, I need territory, and that's it. And he went and wiped people off and conquered all the way the land. 500 600 miles square territory to 55,000 square miles of territory. He broke the sword all the way through. And God said, because you did this, you cannot build a house, but your son will do it. And David prepared all the materials, see, except wood. And Solomon married the daughter of King Lebanon, and he got the wood from there. For chapter 5, verse 1. And Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. All right? And Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house unto the name of the Lord his God, for the words which he were about him on every side, and he, the Lord put them under the sole of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. Now, David cleaned up the land, and when you have a military man in charge, he said, this is going to be clean, and he cleaned the land, then the next is the land is in peace. That's what the story of Israel is. So that's what Solomon said. My father cleaned up the enemy. Now I'm okay. Verse 4. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. How wonderful will be if Israel will be like this today, don't we? Verse 5. And behold, I purpose to build a house under the name of the Lord thy God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son whom I will set upon my throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name. Now verse 6. Now therefore, command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon. Israel do not have Lebanon. They do not have cedar trees in Lebanon did. And my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give a hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. For thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Sidonians. In other words, there were no good guys to cut trees. And he said, I will hire you people and pay for that. And so Solomon did that. And in chapter 7, verse 51, please, we get the real crown of the story. Chapter 7, verse 51. That's where the job ended. So was ended all the works that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought in the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels that he put among the treasures of the house of the Lord. And so Solomon was a builder, and he built peacefully. He built peacefully. He did not, somebody had to fight before. And did it, but now he received the kingdom, and peacefully he built a house for the Lord. So Solomon was a builder of God's house. Now, I want you to notice also that once the house was built, then Solomon also was an intercessor. Let's go to chapter 8. Solomon was an intercessor, just like Samuel was. In chapter 8 and in verse 15, for example. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought for my people Israel out of Egypt, I choose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house that my name might be therein, but I choose David to be over my people Israel. And so he's interceding and he's praying. Look in verse 20. And the Lord hath performed his word. This is what he's praying, that he has spake, and I am rising up in the room of David and my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built a house for the name of the Lord of Israel. And then look in verse 23. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above, of an earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servant that walk before thee with all their heart. And what I really love, and I had choose this verse 29 years ago when I started the ministry of shortwave and family radio, is verse 60. The purpose the board director asked me, what will be the purpose of WAFR, the station they broadcast to the world? Verse 60, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none else. And so Solomon was an intercessor. Solomon was a man who really knew how to pray. So let's review this man that is brought in 1 Kings and in 1 Chronicles. Number one, Solomon was a man of wisdom. Number two, he was a just judge. He knew how to say this is right, this is wrong. Solomon was a builder of the house of God, peacefully building the house of God. Without, remember, in another detail in Chronicles said that he cut the stones, cut on the ground, and moved by horses up to the place, and they fit. So somebody must have a drawing made, and they cut the stone right through, and they were locked into each other, and nobody put a hammer on those stones when they were put together. So perfectly made. And then King Solomon was an intercessor. He was a man of God who knew how to pray. Now, in what sense? What's the message here? And that's what I want to go next. What is the message? How did King Solomon in 1 Kings and in 1 Chronicles represent Jesus Christ? Well, let's work a little bit now with the New Testament. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ is a man of wisdom. Let's look in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12 and in verse 42. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12 and verse 42. Jesus is recalling when Queen Sheba came to see Solomon. And in Matthew 12, 42, Jesus said, the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to earth the wisdom, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And so Jesus Christ is the man of wisdom. He is greater than Solomon himself in the wisdom of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is also a just man. Let me show it to you. First, I want to show you what Jesus knows. John Gospel, chapter 2, in verse 25. This verse impressed my heart for long, long, long time. For long, long time, touched my heart. John Gospel 2, in verse 25. Talking about Jesus, let me read verse 24 so you understand verse 25. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not, look at this, needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knows our heart. I don't need to explain it to him. When I explain Jesus, my heart is for my benefit, not for his information. He already knows my heart. All right? So now you are sitting before a judge that before you open your mouth, he knows exactly what's going on. Now remember, Solomon was a just man. Would Jesus be a just man? Look, let's go to Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, and in verse 31 to 46, as the screen is showing to you, Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, Lord, when saw we thee hunger and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and looked thee in, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in a prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it to one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done this unto me. You got the picture? Here is the judge who sees a heart. He says, when you do something to one of my people, you are doing to me. Then shall he said also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting life, prepare for the devil and his angels. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a just judge, because he knows what is in the heart. He said he will to separate to the left and to the right. And in that, Solomon was a picture of Jesus. Now, also, Solomon was a builder of the temple, and so Jesus Christ. He is one who built the temple. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. And he's not talking about the physical temple. He's talking about the spiritual temple, the church. Look at in chapter 16 and in verse 18, a verse that has been a question mark in many areas of our life. And I say unto thee, Matthew 16, 18, a lot of people question this. And I say also unto thee, talking about Peter, you are Peter, and upon this rock, talking about Jesus, I will build my church. And look at what Jesus said. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatever church Jesus built, there is no way that Satan can destroy it. And let's go to now, First Peter, and he built it with the stones. We are called stones in the house of God. First Peter chapter 2. And verse 5, it's amazing that Solomon chooses stones to build the house of God and so on. And so Jesus in 1 Peter 2, 5 said, Ye also as lively stones who live, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up a spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so when the Lord Jesus Christ built the house of God with the stones, they were not regular physical stones. They were you and me called lively stones. And so therefore, Jesus Christ is the builder. And finally, Jesus Christ is our intercessor. To begin with, in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 3, the Bible reveals that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Let me show it to you. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty of God. So you know where Jesus is. Now, what is he doing there? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. In verse 34, he sat down because the work is completed. And so now in Romans, in chapter 8 and in verse 34, the Bible tells us what Jesus is doing. Talking about Jesus, Paul said, Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yeah, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, as you saw in Hebrews 1:3, who also maketh what? Intercession for us. He is our intercession. And then Paul writing to Timothy, to be sure that Timothy understand, in 1 Timothy in chapter 2 in verse 5, to be sure that they do understand this very clearly, the intercession is only by Jesus. He says in 1 Timothy 2, 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there is no other mediator, no a church, no an institution, no a group of people. We pray for people, we intercede for people, but we go to the throne of grace in the name of Jesus because he is the intercessor. So now you see that Jesus, the Solomon, in many aspects of his life, Solomon, in many aspects of his life, he was a prototype of the Lord Jesus. When Solomon exhibited wisdom, he was doing an exhibit of what the Messiah will be a man of super wisdom. When Solomon, in that chapter 3 of 1 Kings, have that remarkable judgment, was a picture of the one day the Lord will have a remarkable judgment, and nobody will be able to fool him at the day of the Lord. And then when Solomon built the house of God, it was so clear then is a picture of the Lord Jesus, who took you and converted that stone heart of ours into a lively stone. And now we became the live stone of God. And then Solomon interceded and thanked God for the glory that he put in. The Shekinah glory came into the temple, and the manifestation of God came over there. And then Jesus is at the right hand of God, and then he's interceding for us. And so we can learn from the Old Testament as we relate the circumstances, the evidence, and the passage to another passage in the New Testament. And we can say, what a great picture Solomon did about the Messiah, and how grateful we are that we have a perfect and glorious Messiah in the life of Jesus. How wonderful it is that these Jewish people, they have all of these manifestations that God were given to them, and they never understood it. And now we have the two Bibles. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. And as we compare them and match them perfectly, we can understand that God was expressing himself, manifesting himself, revealing himself in the different areas that God worked. May God bless us as we see that the Old Testament is a revealer of the power and the attributes of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, who came in the person of the Lord Jesus, and who manifested himself here on earth. Thank you, Lord, that he worked out in a marvelous way, so that the people in the Old Testament reflect in one way or another the greatness and the power of the Messiah. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Lord. In his name we thank you. Amen. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you.